Now, the language is key. Now, I shared this first part, and I could speak anywhere. I had meetings. I had 283 meetings the first year. Then I got into the language, and I got personal. I used to see people tuning out in the meeting, like, oh, I don't want to hear this. Because the traditional language is a not. That's like 2 plus 2 equals 4 and cannot be any other number. That's, in fact, I was in Huntington, or Farmington, I think it was, New Mexico. And I shared that, and the head of the math department there at the university interrupted and said, well, we're really not too sure if 2 plus 2 is always 4. Now, this is the first time I had an out-of-body experience. I mean, really, they're out there hugging trees, feeling pain, seriously, and want us to join them. Because what? They're wrapped up in a sensuousness, not the reality. Reality is how you feel, not the truth. Well, so 2 plus 2 is 4 and cannot be any another number, whatever is out here. That causes trouble. The UN says the one word that caused all the world wars is the word not. I'd read that document over. It's too simple. Yeah, it is. What God put in the garden? It was a wonderful garden until what happened? You cannot eat of that tree. See, it's a wonderful home until Dad says you can't go out. And so the is and the not is the key. Well, let's go through how this applies. The language affects the culture. This is us. This is just a simple chart. The environment affects you. Too hot, too cold. Your nervous system is picking that information up, sending it to your brain. We have a nervous system. Actually, 4 nervous systems deal with pain. Very complex. You want to study a field, you'll never run out of data to study. The pleasure nerves are all we're pre-wired. We come this way. So you test something that's pleasurable. The nerve is on the surface of the skin, senses it, picks it up, sends a message to the brain. Partway to the brain, there's a gap called a synaptic gap. There are 60 different neurotransmitters, chemicals our body produces, and some of them can be like GABA, which deals with sleep. You ever enjoy sleep? Well, that's GABA. It's a chemical. Directly, you can feel that. Serotonin, that's another one. Women only have a third of the serotonin than men do. That's why you can't put the women out there in the front troops, because they'll be in the trench bawling. Guy's still fine. What's wrong with you? Still, I don't have your serotonin. You know, it's just God made us different. There was a couple of liberals a few years ago wrote a book that men are different than women. Now, for a liberal to do that, that's a pretty traumatic experience. The last chapter, they had to apologize. When men are frustrated, you know what men do when they're frustrated? They go sit by themselves. It's fight or flight. You know, somebody ticks you off at work, you can't punch them, you get fired, you can't run from them, you'll be the butt of everybody's joke. So you just go sit by yourself. Everybody knows when they go by your cubicle, they look in your eyes and say, oh, I'm going to leave Joe alone right now. You know, let the adrenaline get out of my system, and then, you know, I'll be civil in a little bit. But just, boy, that's me. Men go to war. Women don't go to war. Women have a hormone called oxytocin. Same situation. It's released automatically. God gave it to you. And they like these phrases. They will tend and befriend. You'll go make coffee and sit down and talk. Let me tell you something. You tick off a man, he's not going to say, hey, let's go over and talk about this. You know, in fact, they know women have toxic friends. Men don't. But the woman, the reason God did that was because you can take care of the children. You just got a little bit more patience. Dad, he's got a short fuse. Sit down. They're sitting down. Mom will dialogue all day long. Unless you come up in that authority system and learn that and apply that, you're going to be subject to your feelings. Mom will say, children, can you put aside your difference? We want a little peace around the house today at the family reunion. Dad says, who's right? You're right. He's wrong. Men are positional. Why did God create us? Why did God tell Adam, rule? That's how God thinks. What did he tell Cain? Sin lies at the door, and you will what? Rule over it. Husband, rule your home well. See? And so that's a top-down system. Husband, rule, desire the heart of the wife is to the husband, and children, obey your parents and the Lord. Now, on this chart, before I forget it, at the bottom, the patriarch is a father, the matriarch is a mother, mother's heart. That's relationship. That's feeling. But I put wife, mother for a reason here. You have to be a wife first. You cannot let the children come between the husband-wife relationship. Because if you let the children come between, then the husband cannot rule. See, and so there's a mother, the parents, and the children. But it has to be the father has to rule. And that's a scary thing because men make stupid decisions. Men go into debt with three items. Woman, child, 5,000, you know. Because women are security oriented. Men aren't. Men are just, you know, they come home 40-year crisis. The guy's already got the job all figured out. Comes home, the wife thinking, wow, security, you know, money's coming in. We'll just be on easy street from here on. The husband comes in and goes, hey, honey, I just sold the business. We're going to try something new. You know? And desire the heart of the wife to the husband. The wife is to submit to the husband. You know what that means? Doesn't, you know, he's not to, you know, press her. It means she petitions. She gives her everything to the husband. He needs to hear it. My wife was trained in management. She knows how to work this. She only gives me what she wants me to hear. So I'll end up with her outcome. I said, give me all the information. No, if I do, you'll do your thing. But let me make the decision. But men are letting the women make the decision. You know why they do that? So it's not their fault, it's her fault. And God says, nope, it's your fault. Even the UN knows this. They focus on the women first. Because if you can get the women, you got the men. Where did Satan go? Did he go to Adam? No, he went to Eve. You get Eve, you got Adam. And there's an order. You have to destroy that patriarchal home, that traditional home. That's what Marx says, once the earthly family. Karl Marx, Feuerbach thesis number 4. He wrote 11 of them. 11's most quoted. I think it's just change. It's just a little practice change. Heard the word change recently? That's Marx's Feuerbach thesis number 11. Number 4 says, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family. What's the earthly family? Faith. You have faith in Dad. You believe what he said is true. You obey him, and if you don't, you're chastened. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, what's God require? Faith. Yeah, faith in him. You believe what he says. You obey him, and if you don't, he chastens you. Marx understood it. Once you realize that connection, the earthly family must be annihilated. That's a pretty powerful word, isn't it? Freud said, it doesn't matter whether the father's alive or not, he no longer functions as a father figure. Where are the men? Are we training up our young men to be fathers? You know what we have today? 40-year-olds playing with toys. My mom, when she taught, she gave children an adult's brain. Now we have adults with children's brains. Give me, give me, give me. Whiners. Tearing up the kitchen if they can't get their way. Pretty much sums up our government, doesn't it? And it's just, it's simple. If we just simply come back to God's Word, God's wisdom. Early America was blessed. Did it have problems? Definitely. So I got off there, but let me continue. The one I want to talk about is dopamine. That is a hormone that ties, or a neurotransmitter that ties to all habitual drugs. Methamphetamine, cocaine. It's an artificial. Either it replicates dopamine or prevents its reuptake or stimulates it. Caffeine, tobacco. People who smoke, it's tough to get off. Why? It's a stimulant. It is a dopamine. It's pleasure. And once that nerve, it's a small gap here, hits the next nerve, sends it to the brain. In the brain you have a trillion neurons, and some of those connect with 10,000 dendrites. It's like a tree with 10,000 branches going out, connecting with other nerves, and in there is all those synaptic gaps. And whenever it comes to pleasure, say I touch something pleasurable, I'm not aware of it. Nervous system, God has hardwired me to identify it. It gets through the synaptic gap, dopamine's released. Here is a want. I want whatever stimulated the dopamine. Get to the brain, big dose of dopamine. And then I become aware of it, and then with my eyes I look into the environment for it. You notice that? It's not enough to just feel something pleasurable, then you go, where was that? And you look for it, and once you identify, it's not enough to see it, you want it. Because if I can then control the object, I can guarantee the dopamine emancipation. They use the word emancipation, liberation. It actually is the same system for liberation theology. Because this is a theology of sensuousness, not righteousness. Can't we all just get along? What did Jesus say about that? I haven't come to bring peace but a sword. See? Well, so this cycle is doing great. Do you know 2-year-olds are nothing but druggies? They're just chasing dopamine. You give them a blank piece of paper, say you want to do some dishes, and what do? 3 lines on that piece of paper, and that's all the drug they can get off that piece of paper. See, whenever you're learning, dopamine's released. You have to repeat something over and over. It gets boring because no more dopamine's being released. You're reinforcing, like memorizing. That's why when you're doing your homework, it gets boring, and then you start daydreaming. Because daydreaming, you're creating an environment for more dopamine stimulation or emancipation. And then the parent comes along or the teacher says, get yourself under control. Well, it's no fun. Well, sure, it's not fun. See, why did God take Israel and put them in Egypt? Took Israel out of Egypt and put them in the desert. What do you do with a drug addict? You get him out of the environment. You get him away from whatever stimulating the dopamine. So God took Israel out of leeks and melons and cucumbers and garlic and all the pleasures of life and stuck them in the desert. And I'm sure it was fun for a while and then got boring. And showed them manna, and that was pretty neat too. I'm sure the first day that was a dopamine time, and nothing wrong with dopamine. Smell of bread. You ever like the smell of bread? That's dopamine. Now you can identify with the neurotransmitter. You like beautiful sunsets? That's dopamine. Somebody compliments you, tell the wife, oh, those are beautiful shoes. That's 2 days worth of dopamine. See, so we like it. There's nothing wrong. God gave us pleasure. It's the love of it. So God had to get Israel out of Egypt, and this is why you're chasing your child. Do you know you're detoxing your child when you're chasing them? You're getting them off the drug. But see, all this the system is saying you can't chase the children. Just redirect the drug. Keep them on the drug. Well, that's great because if I can keep all of society on this dopamine, the environment stimulates it, and I give them whatever the environment can stimulate dopamine, I have slaves. I can stand at the street corner and hand out drugs, and boy, they'll just keep coming back. I've handed out free first. And the government says, oh, we're going to give you some money free. Wow, guess what? You become a servant to that drug system. God says, I'm going to send you into the desert. Oh, please no. Yeah, you need it. And so the parent comes along and says, not, you cannot. And then they're chasing you if you do. And according to Freud, that's neurosis. You damage your children. See, your child is, you leave the room, you don't catch up. That they, you know, that's all. 3 lines, that's all they got off that paper. They can't go over the lines again because there's no drug there. So they look at the wall and they go, dopamine heaven. You know? They're running, you see this? They're just running all over the place. And they're learning. Nothing wrong with that. But you come in and give them a system of righteousness, which is cannot, must not, thou shalt not. You take your child to the restaurant, and you've been teaching them not to use their hand on the spaghetti, and use the fork, and there goes that hand. And they know they're challenging your authority. So you slap their hand. You better not in that restaurant, because if they cry, it's everybody's duty to turn you in, because you damaged their property, because everybody is hooked to feelings, not accountability or authority anymore. See how that works? See the effect of the affective domain in the classroom? It goes into every profession that those children leave and go into. And so God then comes in and He has to. That's His Word. He chastens us with His Word. And reproves us. 70 times 7 He forgives us. That's a big number. It basically is saying, God loves us. He's patient. Not tolerant, patient. He'll reprove. But He's patient. Well, you take a gift. You go to the store, buy a gift for your child. Dopamine. You know, if you ever find the perfect one, you just get that goosebumps. That, oh, that's awesome. You know, and you go to the cash register, pay for it. Dopamine's flowing in you. You take it home, wrap it. Dopamine. They give it to them on their birthday. You got a dopamine flowing, and they were taking the wrapping off, ripping it off. Dopamine in them. They're shoving that thing around, having a good time, and you're having a good time. And then you go make lunch, and you tell them to put the toy up. And they don't come. And so you come back and they're playing with a toy. And so you have to take the toy away from them. You're detoxing. When there goes that drug hand. And then you're chasing them. See, you're getting them off the drug. They're not, by the way, this destroyed me. This will destroy you. They're not in love with the toy. They're in love with the dopamine the toy stimulated. You're not in love with the people you hang around. You ever like being around people? There are certain people you might even marry them. You don't love them. You love the dopamine they stimulate. That's why the preacher said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Boy, my son graduated from a Christian college. He says, half the students I graduate with, I'm counseling today on divorce. They're divorcing. For better or for worse, or till somebody else comes along that's got more dopamine than you. Because you've gotten to be boring. There's the classroom. Make them feel good and they'll keep coming back. You know, if you build it, they will come. See? And so, but you know, the difference is God said, I send my son. I get no dopamine from you. You're wicked. Jesus, by the way, said, I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the wicked. That's good news. He came for me. Because there's no righteousness in me. The righteousness is in Him. I'm not holy. See, God is righteous in Himself. I'm not God. You know why you spank your child? Aren't they acting like God? You're convincing them they're not God. They're not righteous in themselves. There's a higher authority they're accountable to. These guys understood these systems. We don't. We're ignorant of it. Yeah, I contend in early America they understood. So it's a matter of bringing this back to accountability, higher authority. Well, so Dad says, you know, your friends come by, they're heading to the park, going to have a good time, and you want to go with them, dopamine is flowing, and then Dad says, you're heading to the door, and Dad says, you can't go. Now he says, if you obey me, you're blessed, and you disobey me, you're cursed, and you go, what, Dad, that's no blessing. I don't get any dopamine if I obey you. Good, you're blessed, you're getting off of it. And then how do we get our parents off of this preaching and teaching, right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, I'm above, you're below paradigm, dialogue. See, they'll chase it, but we go to dialogue. And if we can get our parents into dialogue, what does that mean? We're equal. We're brilliant. Do you realize we come as geniuses? What's the first word we throw at our parents when they say we can't go out? Why? That's dialogue. I'm not saying you don't dialogue with your children at times, but there are times, you know why? There is no dialogue here. You simply do what I tell you to do. And you know how you stop that dialogue? With the is. 2 + 2 = 4 cannot be any other number. The is because I said so. I'm the creator, you're the created. Do you realize even in a godless home when they do that system, they are introducing that next generation to the system of the Word of God. And if I remove this not, the next generation will not hear the Word of God. Isn't that brilliant? Because there is no cannot, must not, thou shalt not in your dialogue. In your opinion, and your dialogue of your opinion, there's no conviction, contrition, repentance. All I have to do is get to church in a Bible study. How do you feel and what do you think? And there is no power because that language goes to your head and your heart, but the Word of God goes to your soul. My dander gets up. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just upset because here we are. We've seen a blessed nation just... This thing is falling apart. People ask me, where are we? And I say, we're on a ship with water on the deck. Unless you're on a submarine, that's bad news. We're in serious trouble. This thing is... And Huntsville, they got mad at me because I said, well, we've already lost. They were all saying, what do we do? What do we do? I said, we already lost. And I said, okay, who's the youngest person in here? And there were 60 people in there. And the youngest person was 55. I said, we lost the kids. We lost our children. Because they're over here. How do you feel? What do you think? That's all counseling. You're not to counsel the wife and the husband together with the children. Because you'll go to equality. You counsel the husbands. Are you being accountable to God as a husband before God? And the women of the council of women and the children, you know, that's a top-down system. Do not interfere with that top-down system. That's not a perfect thing. Jesus said, I came not to, you know, he's going to divide the family. In fact, he says, call no man father on earth. That takes care of Catholicism. Because no man is perfect. Only God is perfect. He's our perfect Father. And so this whole system is to... See, Mark said, get rid of the Father. Freud said, get rid of the Father. That was the common denominator between both of them. Let me show you Sigmund Freud. Anybody who's going into psychology, I quit psychology. I was going to major in sophomore year. I was in Christian college. I looked down. You know, the reason I quit wasn't spiritual. It was just all the guys were looking like girls. You have to appreciate the late 60s, you know. I thought, hey, I came from the farm. I'm not going to hang around with these guys. Or guys. I don't know if you want to use that word or not. And then I went back now as I was doing this research. I never did finish on all with this research. See, I spent 5 years at that university. 5 years while you're having life, telling myself to get a life, reading over 600 social psychology books. Reading all these works, grieving, and I come home, pain. This is what happened to me, this is what happened to my nation, and I want sleep. Isn't sleep wonderful? And the Lord make me up in the middle of the night. And first I would say, how rude. First you have me do something I hate doing, and then you, I want sleep, and you won't even let me sleep. But what he did was stick scripture smack dab in the middle of all the research. And it was those wow moments, and I wake my wife up just my sticky pad, you know. Yay, the Lord showed me this tonight, you'll remember in the morning if I don't. Well, neither one of us would remember. So not only would he wake me up, I had to drag myself out of bed, write it down. Next morning I read it and I go, wow. And you know what he did? He showed me the Word of God in the midst of the dialectic process, and there isn't one university that I don't know of that will do that. Because the Word of God will kill it. And so here's, let's look at the garden first before I go to Freud. Satan approaches Eve with the most powerful sentence structure in hypnosis, known as neurolinguistics. They don't know in the Hebrew whether to end with a period of question. Yea, if God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. Yea, it's the same thing as if I said, I wonder whether you know where your knee is. Your conscious mind simply picks up, I'm thinking with my mouth open, I wonder whether it's going to rain. But I choose a body part. You know where your knee is. I make it a statement. That's convoluted. Internally, you say, well, yeah, I know where my knee is. And you start to feel, you can actually feel the language of your nervous system kicking in. You start to look at your knee and your conscious mind kicks in and says, no, you cannot look at your knee. I didn't ask you to look at your knee. Internally, you go, you say, well, it is my knee. I can look at my knee anytime I want to. Cannot, can to, cannot, can to. I produce the cognitive dissonance. You're caught between belief and behavior. Righteousness and sensuousness, if you want to look at the system. And you don't like that tension. And so you're staring at me, feeling your knee. That's all that Satan did. He got her attention on the tree and not on God. That's counseling. That's all man has to counsel with. All. And then she, look at what, how effective it was. God said tree, Satan said tree, Eve says fruit of the tree. That's powerful. That's sensuous. Because she says, well, God has said, and by the way, she paraphrases God's word. She doesn't say God's word because in the temptations, Jesus says what? It is written, it is written. Dad says, dad says, dad says, dad says, dad says. But Eve goes, I feel or I think dad says. You can tell that because when she says, for God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, what else does she say? What's the next part of that verse? Nor touch it. Because every time they're going by that tree, they're not to eat of what's happening. Dopamine. When David saw Bathsheba, dopamine. Nothing wrong with that. It's that he better flee from it. Flee youthful lust. Because if you hang around, it's gotcha. Because you'll start thinking on it, and it'll draw you away. It's too powerful. And so she's then, she says, she gets, and then Satan says, oh, you won't die. She says, oh, for God has said, thou shalt not eat it, nor touch it, lest ye die. And then Satan says, oh, you won't die. And the moment he says that, she says, will too die. Is that what she said? Will not, will too, will not, will too. You know why she didn't do that? is because when you tell your children they can't go out, or your parents told you you couldn't go out, you went to Hawaii and they wouldn't buy it, and they say, because I said so, you talk to yourself and you go, well, I ought to be able to go out. Oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. You learn if you tell your parents, well, I ought to go out, you're not chasing once, it's twice. Maslow called it, we have to create an environment of oughtiness. All of you have oughts against God. You cannot have an ought without a not. Doesn't that make sense? Well, I ought to be able to go out. Well, nobody ever told you you couldn't. Doesn't that make sense? The only way you can have an ought is somebody told you that you could not. And your ought is always good in your own eyes. It's always good. And it's always sensuous.